Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and a great day to you. I want to also take a moment to wish everybody, all you fathers out there, grandfathers, and fathers, grandfathers, and all of the above, a happy Father's Day. Today, we're going to talk about bad landlords, all right? And we're going to hit the subject on a couple of different areas. We're going to talk about landlords as in the sense of commercial property and landlords in the sense of apartments, renting a house, things along that nature. But I'd like to hit this subject because I've run into quite a few bad landlords and some bad deals, and I'm hoping that by us having this show today, we're going to help you to avoid some of the problems that you run into from a bad landlord, you know, some of the pitfalls and some of the things that you need to stay away from. And we're going to share some stories with you about some bad landlords out there to also heighten your awareness of what's out there. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Let's say you are a young person. You've decided that you no longer want to live with mom and dad. You want to get out there on your own and you want to create your own way. Okay, great job. I'm glad that you've reached that stage and you're ready to move forward. However, there are some things you need to keep in mind. One is that, as we say in the martial arts, nothing's free. All right? We all start at the bottom. And a lot of times, your landlord's word is law in this particular arena. Now, however, there are some laws and some different rulings that are supposed to take place, and there's supposed to be some things that are on your side. However, if you sign the wrong paperwork, you can turn that against you. Remember, your landlord is operating a business. Now, some landlords are great. You know, I've got a friend up in New York. His name's Gary. You know, he runs a martial arts school. His landlord is great. You know, so if you want to deal with a great martial artist and a great school, because he doesn't have that stress of a bad landlord, Elite Defensive Tactics in upstate New York is probably the place that you want to go, and you want to see a Mr. Gary Guillon, because Gary is not only a great martial arts instructor, but he's a great person. But he's not a landlord. But my whole thing is that because the fact that his landlord is so accommodating, you know, he runs his business, but his landlord runs his business professionally, and he conducts himself professionally, Gary can concentrate on providing the service that he needs to provide, and an outstanding service it is, to all of his students. So that's the area in the sense of a comfort zone. He has a comfort zone because that's one entity of his particular business he doesn't have to worry about, because he knows that his landlord is going to do the right thing. All right, back to you. You're looking at moving out of your parents' house, or maybe you finished college and, you know, you're ready to get out there into the world, or, you know, depending on how much you had to pay in student loans and bills and things of that nature, you got a little bit of nest egg, you got a little job, you're going to move out of mom and dad's house or move out of the dorm and start your life as an independent individual. Okay, when you first go to look at houses, or look at apartments or properties, you need to figure out what's your price range. What can you afford? All right. Understand that you're not going to, in most cases, some people will, be able to afford the Taj Mahal. You know, you're not going to be able to get all of the bells and whistles that, you know, you kind of wish you could have, you know, unless you're independently wealthy or your parents are independently wealthy and willing to pay for that bill. But understand, too, if your parents are individually wealthy, it's really not you paying for that bill. And the whole thing about getting your own apartment is you being on your own, you being able to take responsibility and move forward with your life and show that you're a mature individual that's ready to step out there into the world, which, again, sometimes just isn't the case. So that's one thing that we also need to deal with, because, again, if you're not at that point, and maybe getting an apartment right now isn't the thing for you. Maybe you should stay at home a little bit longer, you know, build up your nest egg, you know, and have an actual plan. Another thing that you want to look out for is roommates. Okay, roommates, there's nothing wrong with having a roommate, but you need to be living with people that you are compatible with. You know, if you're not a drinker and your friends are drinkers, they're not going to change overnight. They're going to be what they've always been, drinkers. And it can cause you to lose what you believe is a friendship. May not have ever really been a friendship, but that's not for me to judge. And you know that before you even go into the deal, if you look at it with a true and honest face. Okay, you evaluate things as they are, and you move forward. Anyway, when you first go and look, you've figured out how much you can pay in rent. You've got a job. You've got a means to support what you're looking to do. And now you're going to go ahead and look at apartments. All right, you've got your price range. You're now looking at apartments. We'll start off with the front of the house. Or how does the house look on the outside? What's the neighborhood look like? You know, what's the distance? If you have a job, is the job close enough so that transportation isn't an issue? Is there parking? If you've got a great neighborhood, but there's no parking and you've got a car, you may have a potential problem or limited space. You know, there's other problems that also come up. Like, let's say you're going to move into, let's say, the Washington, D.C. area. And I don't mean the D.C. metro area. I'm talking about D.C. itself. Well, in D.C. itself, perfect example, they have what you call zones. And in order to be able to park your car in a particular area, you need to live in a particular zone. So if you're a D.C. resident and you don't live in a particular zone, and it's one of those zones where you have to have a parking pass on your car, you could live right around the corner from your zone. But if you're outside of your zone, every morning you may find a nice, healthy ticket, you know, parking violation ticket on your car. That's going to add to your cost. It's also going to add to you having other problems with Washington, D.C., because they want their money. So that's a pitfall of living in Washington, D.C. if you don't have, you know, a designating parking space. And even though, even let's say you do have a designating parking space, you're going to acquire friends in that Washington, D.C. metro area. And as you acquire friends in that Washington, D.C. metro area, they're not necessarily going to live in your particular zone or you live in their zone. So now if you travel to their house and you drive your personal vehicle, you have a problem. All right, I think I've hit the parking thing enough. But adequate parking is something that you need to consider when you're looking at moving someplace. The neighborhood that you're going to look in, can you live in that neighborhood and can you function in that neighborhood? Is it safe? What type of neighbors do you have? What does your landlord look like? All right, now, remember, this is a buyer beware type of market. You've got a landlord. His job is to make money. He wants to rent. He's looking for as many guarantees as he can possibly get that, one, you're not going to trash his place, and two, you're going to pay your rent. Why? Because as us old folks like to say, he wants to be able to get his kids the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. All right? And he can't do that if he's paying the bills that he's hoping you're going to pay by you paying your rent. He's already done his own little cost analysis and all of the above. He also does not want his property trashed. And in the end, remember, you may be renting that space, but ultimately that space belongs to the landlord. All right, we've looked at the outside of the place. We've looked at the parking. We've looked at, you know, the neighborhood and all of those things. Now let's go inside the house. When you go inside the house, look inside the building. Are the hallways lit? Is everything adequate? What type of a tenant agreement do you have? You know, what are the rules and regulations of the property? Look at them and look them over very seriously. Remember that you're signing a contract. That contract says that you agree to what's on that paper. If you don't understand, ask. And if you have the means, always get your attorney for personal and for a business type of rental. Have your attorney look at it. A lot of landlords will give you what's called a boilerplate. And that boilerplate may cover areas that shouldn't even apply to you. However, if you sign it, I'm not saying you can't work your way out of it, but you set yourself up to fail. And this isn't about setting yourself up to fail. This is about setting yourself up to succeed. So, now we've looked in the hallway. We looked at the front of the building. Now we're going to the apartment. Check everything. All right? There's a stove. Check it. Does it work? There's cabinets, cabinet doors. Most people open one or two doors and then they close. Check them all. Make sure that they're all functioning. Make sure that they're all working. A lot of landlords, when they rent you a space, there's a little thing on there about damage. If you fail to check it, all right, then that means you may be saying that you're going to pay for something that was two door opens away from falling down and breaking, and that's going to add to your overall expense and inconvenience. If it's something that you can identify in the beginning, before you actually rent the space, then your landlord agrees to take care of it, then all you have to do is maintain it. It's a whole lot cheaper to maintain something than it is to have to purchase it new. A whole lot cheaper. So you want to look around, and you want to take a pad and a piece of paper with you, and you want to note every single thing that you have a question about or that you see that's wrong. All right? As you're doing this, you know, keep it with you. Bring it up in your negotiations before you sign anything. Don't sign any pre-anything, all right, until you've had a competent attorney or somebody that you truly trust that knows what they're looking at, not necessarily your friend, to reevaluate this and look at it and give you an honest opinion as to whether you should sign yourself away. All right, you want to turn on the stoves. You want to turn on the water. You want to open up all the drawers. You want to try the hood if it's got a vent hood in the kitchen. Try all of the light switches. Get yourself a little tester, a little electrical tester. Stick that a little electrical tester in each one of the plugs. Make sure that you get that green light, that all those sockets are working. All right? All right, after you've done all of that, we move out of the kitchen. Us also refrigerator, the washing machine, all of those things, the dishwasher, all of that, make sure, and the garbage disposal, make sure all those things work. Look for any leaks, any mold, any mildew, any of those things, because you don't want to be liable. A lot of contracts, you will be liable for some of that stuff, and it could be very costly. Okay, from there, we move into the rooms. Look at the bedrooms, again, look at the walls, look at the ceilings, look for mold. See if you smell anything funny, that might be the indication that you've had, that there's been a problem in the past, and you may be inheriting said problem, because you don't want to inherit said problem. All right, so you looked in the bedrooms, you looked in the living rooms, you looked at the walls, you've opened and closed all the windows, you've opened and closed all the doors, external, internal. All of the above. You check the light switches. You check the power coming through. All right? Also, find out if you're responsible for any other things or if there's any other adjoining structures that could also make your life miserable. Walk around the property again. And when you walk around the property, here's something else that some people get. Make sure you're not near any water purification areas, you know, water treatment plants, things of that nature. Because the day you go to look at your house, everything may be fine. But that's because they weren't doing their water treatment that day. On the day that they are doing their water treatment, now all of a sudden you've got a very foul smell. Why? Because they're treating the water today. And on those 2 days that you went by the property, they weren't treating anything. For most counties, cities, and municipalities, you can actually go online and see what the school district is, where the banks are, where the parks, recreation areas are, where stores, shopping centers, the electrical company is, who's your electrical company, who's your water company, who's your gas company. A lot of this stuff you can actually do online. So in the comfort of your own home, you can pull out a lot of this information, which would save you trouble too, because you're going to need to talk to these people to get your gas and your electric and your water and all of that stuff cut on anyway. So knowing that information up front could be very helpful to you as a renter. Plus that now you know where you need to go next after you sign that lease, you know, or before, if you want to see what their policies are and what their rates are. You know, sometimes an electrical company you may think is in your district may not be. It may be in another area, but it's just really close to where you are, so you assume that that's the place where you'll be paying your stuff, but it isn't. So it's good to check. You know, if you want your if you've got any children. Again, I was talking about people that are pretty much just starting out, but if you've got any children, because a lot of us start out with children, you know, you're going to know where the schools are in the area for them, where the parks are in the area for them. And again, it could be very helpful to you as a new renter. All right. We've checked all the doors. We've checked all the other stuff that we got to look at. All right. Now we want to look at the bathrooms. In the bathrooms, you want to check for any type of water leaks. You don't want to be responsible for any type of damage that had occurred before you, and then the landlord ends up putting it on you. You want to be able to move into that house and enjoy the fact that now you need to get furnishings and sit back and admire the fact of your accomplishment. Not, oh my God, my house flooded out and the water and all of that stuff. And again, all of the appliances, you need to check them. All right? Any water damage, you need to look for it. Windows, roof, all of those particular things. Now, we've looked at all of those things, and now we're moving forward. We've decided that this is the apartment that we want to look at. This is the apartment that we want. Do yourself a favor. Take pictures and go back a second time. Go back a second time, review your list, and make sure that you've caught everything before you sign that paperwork. By looking back and seeing if you've caught everything, you're again helping to protect yourself from having to deal with later problems with your landlord or anybody else. Because again, once you sign that paper, you've now obligated yourself for a year, 3 years, 5 years, whatever the lease is. Look at the terms of the increase. Usually there's a yearly increase when you sign a lease. Make sure that that increase is going to be okay for you. And if you can get one, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, see if you can get an escape clause. The escape clause means, for some reason, whatever it is that you were doing didn't work out. This way, you're not owing this landlord money that they're going to sue you for or try to take you to court for later on. All right? There's been a number of different crazy stories out there about things that landlords have done. And a lot of it is because a lot of landlords have come, run into some crazy tenants. But there's also some crazy landlords out there. Perfect example is this one story I was looking at the other day where there's this gentleman out of New York. I'm sorry, he's not out of New York. He got caught in New York. He lived in California. He's trashed 10 or 20 houses that he's rented, trashed them. And what he did was he gave them a sob story. That sob story was he was a fireman in New York City back in 9/11. You know, he went through a whole bunch of trauma, and he ended up moving out to California. Well, now this guy's got, I think, 3 federal warrants for his arrest because every apartment that he's ever moved into, he's trashed. And when I say he's trashed, I mean he's totally trashed them. So now they caught him. I think one of the channels caught him in New York moving out of yet another apartment that he basically was getting kicked out of by his landlord. So I understand in some cases. But anyway, this is about bad landlords. A bad landlord is going to try to give you a lease, and he's going to try to get you to sign it immediately. Don't sign it immediately. Have a lawyer look at it. Have somebody that you trust that knows what they're doing, look at it and evaluate it, and then get back to you. He should not be rushing you. Also, when you call your landlord up about a legitimate problem, he should be able to say to you, okay, I'll take care of it. What's the problem? You shouldn't be getting back a nasty gram. You shouldn't be getting harassed or any of that stuff. Also, talk to the other tenants, be it a commercial space or a non-commercial space. Find out how long they've been there. What do they think of the landlord? Is he a horse's platoon, or is she a horse's platoon? Or is this person a decent person and great to work with, and they enjoy the apartment and enjoy doing business with this person? That's the other thing. Yes, it's the landlord's property, but this is a business agreement, okay? He didn't join, or she didn't get into this business to make friends with you. They got into this, be it on purpose or by accident or by inheritance, to make money. And they're going to try to make money. And your bottom line is not their bottom line. All right? Keep that in mind. They are not your friends. If you, in turn, get a friend out of this deal, consider yourself extremely lucky, because that is usually not the case. Okay. Again, don't sign a lease that you're pressured into. Don't sign a lease from somebody that sounds arrogant, disrespectful, or seems to be a racist, a bigot, or a sexist. If somebody told me a long time ago, if a person will treat another person bad and you see it, the only difference between you and them is reason and opportunity. So that means if you give, or that person believes that you give them a reason or an opportunity to treat them bad, to treat you bad, they're going to treat you just as bad and maybe worse than you've seen them treat somebody else. And that goes for everything, not just renting an apartment or renting a space for business. If your landlord is as I said before, a horse's platoon, you probably need to stay away from them. Why? Because they're probably going to be a horse's platoon when you have to deal with them, and they don't agree with what it is. So you want to get a good feel for it. If you don't feel comfortable dealing with that landlord, leave. Okay? Leases. Once you've got your lease and you've signed it, you're moving forward. Something goes wrong in that space, contact your landlord. Give him a call and send him a letter. Okay? Keep that letter. Write down the date that you give them the call. Matter of fact, if I were you, I would do both the same day. I would call them that Monday or Tuesday or whatever day it is, and I would send them a letter that Monday, that Tuesday, or what day it is. Stick it in an envelope, stick it in a drawer with your lease. That way, when you come back later on and your landlord possibly says you're not being responsive, or, you know, they never knew about this or any of that stuff, you're helping to establish that you did notify them and that you are a conscientious renter. Sometimes we want to be nice, we want to do the right thing, we figure, yeah, they're so busy, and well, they cut us a huss on this, or they cut us a huss on that. Did they really cut you a huss, or did they forget? All right, are they really doing you a favor, or is it something that should have been taken care of, and they were just waiting for somebody to discover it and hoping that you wouldn't? So to protect yourself, document it. Put it someplace where you can get it, and don't argue. If your landlord is a butthead, be nice. If your landlord is a double, triple butthead on the phone, be nice, be professional. However, document it so that if you end up going to court, you have some recourse. You can prove that you were trying to do the right thing. Because remember, the law is on your side, but it's also on your landlord's side. And if your landlord is, let's say, a multimillionaire as far as owning property, why should he just pick on you, the lonely tenant? Why should he harass you? You have to look at it like somebody on the outside looking at it. I've got 100 tenants. I don't, but I have 100 tenants. Why should I pick on tenant 101 and all the other tenants having complained? That judge isn't going to go into research as to how many complaints, you know, have been filed with that landlord. He doesn't have any way of finding out how many complaints have been filed with that landlord unless people complain. And a lot of times people complain verbally, but they don't complain in writing. People complain to their friends, but they don't complain to anybody that can make a difference in what they're doing. On the commercial space thing, same thing. Look at the space. Look at the roof. If it rains really hard, go by the space before you sign the lease. I went to one place in a place called Woodbridge, Virginia that I rented, and I go into the, it rained really hard that day, so I go down, it's in the shopping center, I walk down the corridor to the shopping center, and there's water coming outside, coming from inside the school door, outside into the walkway. Clearly, I had a water problem. However, my landlord, my soon-to-be landlord, didn't advise me of that. He didn't share it. Okay? We got it. He ended up fixing the roof, but then arbitrarily, I ended up having problems for the next 4 or 5 years to where I had water leaking into my school and that water damaged stuff. Then that roof was a commercial roof. So when they resurfaced it, they put tar on it. Well, that tar, in the spaces where they didn't properly plug the holes, that tar leaked through. Well, that leaked through tar got on top of the acoustic tiles and then dripped onto my matting. So we're talking about mats that run anywhere from about, you know, let's say close to $200 to $800. Now I've got tar because it got hot in the summer. The tar melted from the sun beating on the roof. That leaked onto the acoustic tiles, then leaked between the acoustic tiles onto the floor. So now I've got tar damage on my mats or water damage. So that's just an example where I had one mat. It was like an $800 mat. Well, that mat sucked up water. There was no way I could get it dry. I ended up having to throw out the mat. And then we all get so busy trying to run our businesses, trying to conduct our lives, that we kind of go, I'll call him next week. Or, yeah, I called him, and he's supposed to get back with me, and nothing ever happens. And then, you know, like I said, life happens. So months, weeks, whatever, down the road, you're trying to get stuff fixed, or, you know, now you have a disagreement with him about something else, and you're like, Dag, I didn't bring that thing up about the daggone leak and the damaged mats. And now instead of it seeming like you're telling this guy the truth, it seems like you're trying to do something to retaliate or to get more money. And you and I both know that's not the case. However, can you prove it? You know? And in a court of law, most things is, can you prove it? All right? And like I said, most of these landlords, they know the law better than you. This is what they do. Your job isn't renting an apartment or renting a business space. Your job is running and operating said business and running and operating your life. So you want to look out for these pitfalls, plus that your lawyer has a team of people that work with him. He has a staff. So you need to really be careful. All right, we're not going to talk about any particular landlords, but we've talked about a couple of subjects that I think could be helpful to you as a person renting a space, be it commercial or non-commercial. When you get your lease, if there's things you don't agree with in your lease, line them out. Get your landlord to sign it or initial it off, and you and him both get a copy of the original with his signature and your signature. So if there's any questions, you can do that. Also, it's a buyer beware thing. Like I said, there's a lot of landlords out there that are shysters. Protect yourself, protect your family, protect your business, and protect your livelihood. Document everything. Again, this is Zurian Bennett. And I want to thank you guys for your time and your patience. For all you fathers, have a happy Father's Day, and everybody have a really blessed day. Today is now. Let's move forward. Let's be happy. Let's be the people that we should be and be the people that we can be. Thank you very much. And with that, take care. Hope to see you again. And please visit our site and listen to some of our other stories. Again, business opportunities at www.izig.zsuccess. Business opportunities, www.izig.zsuccess. Thank you again very much, and please visit the website, watch the 3 videos, and you have a beautiful day. Take care. Farewell.